If you're a parent, I want to speak to you in this particular episode. About a week ago, maybe a little bit longer at this point, I posted about how if your child is too grown for my child, I have to cut the relationship. And I don't feel bad for doing that. I did get some mixed feedback, mostly positive. People understood what I was saying, but there were a few people who I believe misinterpreted what I was saying. And I just want to take some time to kind of dive deeper into why I said what I said and what it means. And I am going to be using the blog post that I wrote to kind of guide me through this so that I stay on task, because y'all know I have a tendency to go off on a tangent. But I really want to look at this like a message from one parent to another. In the blog post, I think I said one mama to another. But what I want us to understand is a few things. Because one of the things that I got as feedback on that post was, oh, the children who are the most protected and sheltered are usually the wildest ones. Someone went as far as saying, those are the children who end up pregnant. Like, you're going to do your children a disservice. You're going to make them, you're overly sheltering them. You're doing too much. Basically, what I saw was a collective of people who almost seemed to have this idea that you may as well do nothing because you can't control everything. And I just rebuke that all the way around. So if that's something that you might be struggling with, if you want to hear some commentary on that, that's what I'm going to be covering in today's episode. So one of the things that I started off saying was, I know it may sound harsh, but I really do want people to hear my heart. But it's something that I have had to come to understand. Not every family is going to be able to be walking closely with mine. And the thing that ties into this is, it's no hate. I don't despise you. It's just a boundary. And me putting up a boundary does not mean that I don't love you. Because another thing that came up was, oh, well, it's not the children's fault. Mind you, I never said that it was the children's fault, but we have to be realistic. There are some things in life, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. I just have to be responsible for what I can be responsible for. And I do not believe it's the child's fault when they're overexposed. But I also know that my solution to that is going to be very limited in what I can do for that child. And I have a responsibility to make sure that my child does not get influenced. Because then if my child is influenced, they are then going to influence other children. So this is less about my children are so innocent. And this is more about I am working to protect my children's innocence. And I really want people to understand that a lot of times when we have conversations, people can't get past their own triggers, right? And people always think that because you're speaking on a topic, you're coming from a point of like being high and mighty or like holier than thou. And that's not what it is. I'm saying I cut ties with families who have children who are more advanced than what I feel is appropriate for my own children. And that's a decision that I make as a parent. When I say too grown, what I mean is, because this is another thing that people misunderstood, although I did clarify in the video, so it just tells me people are either not listening or they're just making stuff up or they're just, I don't know. But I did get a few people stitched. Like one lady was like, I want people to stop saying too grown. Remove it from your vocabulary. Okay. The subject matter still stands. When I say too grown, here's what I'm saying. And this could be up for debate, I guess. I'm talking about my daughters, and my daughters are 9 and 10 years old currently at the time of me filming this podcast. 9 and 10 year olds should not be doing the same thing as teenagers, nor should they be in the same spaces. Am I well aware that we don't have tween spaces anymore? Absolutely. I remember when we were younger, there were things that we could do. There were places that we could go. Even after school, when the internet first started coming into play, we would all be on like AOL Messenger, right? Like we would be on AIM after school talking to each other. We would be in little game rooms. We would have sock hops, which I don't even know if they have things like that anymore. We used to have sock hops. We used to have things that we could do, really. We had little tween spaces. Even outside of things to do, I remember we had tween stores. Like there were places where we could go, like the Limited Two, like Justice, even Delia's to a certain extent. But now I feel as though everything is grown with a baby version. So like there's Fashion Nova, but then there's Fashion Nova Kids. So you can shop on Fashion Nova for your kids, but it's not like its own little place for children, right? Like, it's not the limited two. There's all of these stores like Forever 21 and H&M where they have kid sections, but it's not like a store dedicated to children's clothing, unless you're going to like the children's place, which is really, yeah, that's cool for younger kids, but it's really not cool for tweens, right? They don't have anything for them per se. But that's a bit, like I said, this is a bit of a tangent, so let me come back to center. What I mean when I say too grown, not talking about the girls wanting nails polished. They wear makeup when they go to practice. They are cheerleaders and they do competitions. So they wear like the glitter and like the stage makeup, right? I don't think that's inappropriate. They do get their nails polished. Do they get acrylics? Absolutely not. I do think that that's a little too advanced, but arguably y'all do whatever y'all want. They can wear lip gloss, right? But outside of cheer and performance, they are not wearing makeup because I don't think that that's something that's appropriate for them. Again, this thing about being grown, yes, sometimes it's about sexual exposure, but sometimes it's just the mentality. This thought came about because I remember someone asking my daughters, like, oh, y'all still play with dolls? In a way that was like, I don't do that, that's for babies, right? Like, very condescending, a little demeaning, right? And to me, when I said this in the video, I think a lot of people took this out of context too. I'm not necessarily saying if your children don't play with dolls at the age of 9 and 10, they're too grown. Because I also clarified other things that they do. I said, what else is there that a child could be doing? You know, my girls, they skate in the house, they play outside, they ride their bikes, they ride their little skateboards, they hang out with the neighbors, they do crafts, they do different things that are age appropriate. My thing is, if your children are not doing age appropriate things, even if they don't play with dolls, are they chasing after boys? Right? Are they on Instagram? Are they on TikTok? Because to me, as a parent, that is something I don't want my children around. And it's because Instagram and TikTok are not places for children. They are social media sites for people that are supposed to be like 13, 14 and up. And there's really no real regulation about what they can see and experience when they're on those apps unmonitored. So even when it comes to those games like Roblox and things like that, my children have that, but they can't just freely go off by themselves and play it. I have to be there with them. And there are people who think that that is extreme. But I find that there are chat rooms, there are things within those apps that I don't know if my children are ready to regulate on their own. Now, the other thing that I wanted to add to this is it does come with a responsibility, right? It comes with the responsibility of a parent to have these conversations with them, to make sure that we're modeling what is acceptable, to make sure that they understand not just, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do that, but that they understand why these limitations are in place so that they can learn what to look for and what to watch out for as they grow. Perfectly fine. But the overall conversation of what I'm referring to when I say too grown, I'm talking about a loss of innocence. I'm talking about children rushing to adult behaviors, adult conversations, adult ideologies, things that children are just not supposed to be engaging in. And I think that this happens a lot more than we would like to admit, because if you're an adult who does not separate what is appropriate for your child, they're going to naturally pick up on these things. I saw Jarnay, one of my friends on TikTok. Y'all should follow Jarnay if you're not following her. She posted about how bullying really does start with the parents. And she was saying how there was a situation where she was sitting amongst someone and the adult, the mom, was like, oh, did you see so-and-so's shoes? Right? Like, talking about the person's shoes, like, oh, I can't believe they would wear that. Something along those lines. And the child was right there. And she was saying how bullying really is the result of learned behavior from the parents more often than not. Because when you're a child, that doesn't even cross your mind unless somebody puts it in your mind. And so this is what I'm referring to. It's about this loss of innocence. So what I'm referring to is children who casually talk about things like dating, casually talk about things like body parts, like in a sexual way, in a very inappropriate way, using language that children should not be using at a particular age. And sometimes that comes with lingo that they may have learned from older children, right? Friendships where there's secrets and whispers, right? Where there are just things that should not be spoken about, and we're keeping secrets from the parents. Because again, that's inappropriate at that particular age. This is also why I'm so diligent about the homeschool journey and like making sure that before my children go back into the school system, they are confident and they can advocate for themselves and they feel comfortable coming to talk to me so that if something is weird, we can have that conversation. But another thing, the home environment where people lie to their children, because this was another thing. Some people thought that protecting their children's innocence was like not telling them that Santa Claus isn't real or the tooth fairy. Like, that's not protecting innocence to me, because that's lying. So I'm also trying to make that clarity. We don't lie to our children. We don't even celebrate those holidays that revolve around things like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. Now, that doesn't mean that my children are going to be telling your children. That's not real. We've had conversations about everybody doesn't believe what we believe. And it's not your job to go around popping bubbles, but it's always your job to tell the truth. Because those are things, too, that I feel are inappropriate, because it's seen as good fun, but it's really against the foundation of truth that I'm trying to build with my children. And even having an unregulated home environment for children where they have unrestricted access to things like music, media, right? Certain TV shows. Those are things that are also kind of disturbing to me and alarming to me. If I notice that that's happening, I don't want my children in that environment. Because yes, they know what is expected and what they shouldn't do, but it's still ultimately up to adults to make sure that we're regulating those things. And I know that this might not seem like a big deal for some people, but for us, it is a big deal. And if we're very passive about it, then we end up having this experience with our children where they are robbed of their innocence. And I think what I really want to point out to people is just how short of a time childhood is. So I'm going to read straight from the blog on this one. It says, childhood is only 15 years. Let that sink in. 15 short years, that's it. If the average person lives to be 80 years old, that means childhood takes up less than 20% of our lives. But those early years, they shape everything. I believe God designed this season to be full of wonder, play, learning, and yes, innocence. Not in a bubble, but in a covering. A childhood rooted in safety, love, and freedom to just be a child without pressure to grow up too fast, without being exposed to trauma that wasn't theirs to carry, and without the world whispering lies into their ears about who they are and what they should be. That means I guard who my children are around, even other children. Now, I also want to add that this is not about perfection. Because one, no child is perfect, but no adult is perfect. I'm not perfect. My children are not perfect. The next person's children are not perfect. We are all going to do things and fall short, right? Sometimes the children are going to have big feelings and throw tantrums. Sometimes the adults don't react in the best way. What I'm referring to is a pattern of behavior. Consistently having different values. Because here's what I can say. My kid might have a meltdown, right? My kid might have a moment where they just don't want to talk. They don't want to open up. One of my daughters, every now and then when she's really overwhelmed, she tends to shut down. And she's still learning how to work through that thing. So she's not perfect. But what I'm saying is, if there's a consistent habit of a child being disrespectful, right, talking back to the parents, being rude and nasty to other children, bullying other children, I have to sever the tie. Because I still love you. I will still pray for you. I will still try to help your child. If your child ever needs anything, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, you cannot come and be among my children. And that does not make me a holier than thou person. That does not make me a person who thinks that I'm better than anybody. It's not even personal. That's just what parenting is. It's setting boundaries. And it's not easy. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Right? And sometimes you have to have the conversation with your child. Like, there are times when there have been times rather when one of my daughters would say, hey, like, are we going to see this person again, or are we going to hang out with this person? Because in their mind, like, they missed that friend, but there were things that I saw in that friend that were just a little bit too far ahead for my children at that time. And it doesn't always mean that we will never see them again, but I'm not going to overwhelm myself with allowing the presence of that child. And I really hope that that makes sense, because this is not even about villainizing the child, but it's about, let's be serious about what this is. Because once a child is exposed and robbed of their innocence in any way, there's no going back, and they see the world how they see the world. And they, as a child, may not be able to filter, like, oh, let me not bring this on this other child, because they don't know. Right? Even when it comes to things like adult films and how so many kids are actually able to see those things. I remember it was one of my cousins. They thought it was funny and they showed it to all of us. It wasn't trying to be sneaky or trying to expose us or trying to do anything wild and inappropriate. They thought it was funny that their parents had one of these tapes and they showed all of us. And that is something that we just all saw at an age that we were never supposed to see it. And I think about how quickly things like that can happen and what it actually stirs up, because then you have to have conversations about what is this, right? And if you're a child that's not comfortable going to your parent, you're going to try to get the information from other children who don't know much, and now everything is just distorted, right? And that's worst case scenario. Sometimes it's not even that bad. Sometimes it's a little bit more mild. Like, maybe there's a little girl who's on TikTok and she does dances and trends and she's like a little influencer, right? Or she's not an influencer, but she does all of the IG girl type things. And that may not be inherently bad, because maybe she's just being girly, but it's almost like she's grooming herself to seek the validation of others. And that's not something that I want my daughters to do. That's not something that I want my daughters to experience. I want them to be very grounded in themselves so that they don't have to seek external validation from others. And I think that we also don't tie into understanding just how gentle and sensitive children are at the age of like preteens, 9, 10, and really getting into being a preteen, like 11, middle school. That's such a hard time. Middle school is like personal development and struggle, right? Like, some of the things that we experience in middle school, we already have insecurities. We already have all of these things going on. So to magnify that with teasing, I'm thinking about that episode of Full House, and even the episode of The Cosby Show when Vanessa wanted to wear makeup. But the episode of Full House when DJ went to school, I think they were starting seventh grade, her and Kimmy, and she was like dressed like the teacher. And the next day, it was so horrible. The next day, her and Kimmy were like trying to wear makeup. Kimmy had like stuffed her bra. It was just like they were trying to blend in with the rest of the kids because they were seventh graders now in a high school, and they felt like out of place because everyone was so much more advanced. And I feel like that's what people are worried about. Like, oh, they're going to go into the world and be influenced anyway. But the point that I'm making is they can go out into the world and be so assured of themselves and be so paced from childhood, from their parents, that they're not as impacted by those things, that we have conversations about those things. Because even in that particular episode that I'm thinking about, it ended up being a conversation from Becky, from I Becky, that kind of helped DJ to understand, you know, like, I remember she said, the key to good makeup is looking like you don't have any on. And I think that conversation with another woman was really reassuring for her. But even when her dad came up to talk to her about what was going on after she basically walked downstairs looking like a harlot streetwalker, she opened up to him and they had a conversation and they really talked through it. And I know this is it's a sitcom, so it's really not that serious, but it's a good example. And I think it shows how that can play out in real life. Like, obviously we cannot guard our children against everything, but we can do our best to keep them, doing things that are appropriate. We can do our best to keep them in their innocence intact for as long as we can. Because as I mentioned, really, I'm saying 15. I know people are like, well, really, you're a child until you're 18. You're not really, because by the time you're like a junior in high school, life is starting to get really serious. Everybody's asking you what you want to do with your life. Everybody's asking you, what are you going to do for college? You start to take things really seriously. You're about to be on your own. You turn 18, you go away to college, you start living in apartments, and then life just starts to happen. And you really don't have the luxury of being a child anymore. So childhood really is, and it's even shorter than 15 years, because really, the first 2 years of your life, you're not talking much. You're kind of under the care of your parents. Your exploration doesn't really start until you're like 3 or 4. You're not really fully aware and remembering everything until you're like 5 or 6. And then you go from 5 or 6 to like 15, those 10, 12 years where you really get to indulge in being a child. And this is why I'm so serious about protecting that. And I'm also very serious about protecting it because I don't ever want my children to grow up and have this trauma of, I was robbed of my childhood, so now I have to act like a child in adulthood. And I really thought that it would be something that would be well received and people would understand it. But instead, I did get a lot of people who understood it, but I was also shocked at the number of people who took it out of context and didn't really understand. So I did want to come back and give a more thorough, thought out response to this. It's not at all about villainizing anyone's children. It's not at all about making people feel bad about the decisions that they make as parents. It's not any of that. It is about, as I mentioned, protecting the innocence of the children that I'm responsible for. And being diligent about doing so. I don't think you're a terrible person if your children are a little bit more advanced. I just think that that relationship is not for my children. So hopefully that helps. And I will see you in the next episode.